AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
My nigga left this thing. Rookies.
Look at these. Listen, I am in a cemetery basement.
Rookie shit.
Cookies. Rookie, I don't even
this virtual God. Background, what is it? Is it wet grass?
I think so. Zoomed in.
Who decided this was like the move?
You gotta design your own backgrounds over here. Yeah. Welcome everybody to this podcast part two situation, where Sophie's now back home on her background.
She is. That's what everyone says about Sophie.
Yeah. Back home on her background. Mm-hmm. My name is Propaganda. I catch wreck like earthquakes. That's Anderson barking there.
Yeah, and she doesn't like the weather.
She's our COO.
Uh-huh. And the illustrious Robert Evans.
Yes.
The awardless.
That is the accurate way to describe me. Illustrious and unawarded.
Awardless.
Yeah.
Join me in Bob Marley as people who've never been awarded for our work.
Really? Bob Marley?
He never won any sort of music award.
Even when he did the All Along the Watchtowers and the Princess, all that good shit?
Nope.
Wow.
That
makes me feel better about the fact that I have never been awarded anything.
I
am the Bob Marley of podcasts.
Woo! You stretched Armstrong that one. But yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, it's a good list to be on.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we at? Oh, I remember where we're at. Where we last left our heroes.
Yes.
Oliver North had a light bulb idea as to how to solve this problem.
Yes, but he did.
That's because he's aware of a whole other situation that's happening on the other side of the world that we have not yet talked about.
And just for a brief aside, the reason that Ollie is aware of everything that's happening, so I said in the first episode that McFarlane has centralized all intelligence. So it's going through the NSC. They have this computer system, and it's this physical set of terminals that, like, the data runs directly into the terminal. It's not like it's flying through the air or anything. Like, it's running along these wires to this specific set of terminals. And it's this group of three big screens that all of everything the United States as an entity knows about the world runs into these three screens.
So crazy.
And the guy sitting behind the screens is Ollie North.
Ain't that crazy? He was on the internet before everybody. Yeah. So Ollie is aware of, and he's also like put in charge of all this stuff. You know, so by Bud McFarlane. He's like, look, can you do this? Can you fix this? So one of the things he's worried about is who we talked about in the beginning of this was the Contras, this rebel group in Nicaragua who's fighting against the Sandinistas, this, again, socialist group who overthrew their dictator. Yeah. And Reagan's just like jocking.
He could not be harder for these guys.
He is so just like rock hard for these fools.
He calls them the moral. Yeah, I'm sure you're getting to that.
Yeah. Like the force of good in South America. Yeah. Like just all kind of just out of pocket extra shit about the Contras and that we need to support our brown brothers down south. Just absurd, right? Yeah. And again, like we said before, it's based on this fear that socialism is going to spread in the Americas, right? Or on the Western Hemisphere, period. You know, if we're going to have communists, let them be on the other side of the Atlantic. You know what I'm saying? At least it's not on our side of town. But either way, he's like, we rocks with the Contras. And whatever they need, and he been on the TV, like, yo, whatever these fools need, we need to ride for them. And Congress is like, slow down, chief. Buddy, y'all remember Vietnam?
Yeah.
This shit don't work, fam.
Yeah, we're actually not okay with being ride or die for these guys.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
Yeah.
So in 1982, they passed what's called the Bolin Amendment, which if you are a teacher, a parent, an older sibling, whatever the case may be, you would resonate with something like this. It's one of those laws that or those rules that you can't believe need to actually be stated. You know, it's when you see one of those like, please do not walk off this cliff. Please do not lick the doorknobs. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have to tell you this. Why is this a rule? Well, it's because somebody did walk off this cliff and somebody actually used to lick this doorknob. So we had to make a law. And the law was, hey, you can't use our money to overthrow Nicaragua.
Yeah, you can't, like, it was, in broad, it was, you know, you can't just go overthrowing governments and funding militant groups without asking Congress, right?
Like, you can't just be cutting checks to overthrow governments, fam. Like, that's not what we pay taxes for.
Everyone who was involved in making it was, like, specifically looking at what Reagan was trying to do in Nicaragua. Like, that was the specific
because he wasn't
goal
hiding
of
it.
The Bolin Amendment. Yeah,
because he wasn't hiding it. He was like, nah, we rock with them. The Sandinistas are dangerous. We need to help these fools. And they're like, okay, listen, bro, we've been down this route before. Mm-hmm. You can't just be cutting checks for these people like this. But Reagan's like, okay, word, I hear you. But like, what if I want to though? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, but what if I, you know, counterpoint, I want to. So it was Bud McFarland's job to make sure that we still have these fools back without actually breaking this law, right? So who does Bud McFarland put in charge? Oh, Ollie Oxenfree, right? Puts the big homie in charge. So in 1984, Bud tells Ollie, listen, this is what we'll do. Hey, have the Contras set up this offshore account, right? And if you've seen a movie ever, you know what an offshore account is. You know what I'm saying? For contributions that are made to them that are direct deposits to the cause. Ollie is like, gotcha. Let me tap in with some homies who know some people down there. So he hits Bill Casey again from the CIA. He's like, yo, who you got down there that can help us over there set this thing up? So Bill Casey connects him with the homie Adolfo Calero, right? Who's big Nicaraguan businessman, big baller, you know what I'm saying? Shot caller, moving in circles out there with the Contras. So Bill Casey lays out the play. He's like, look, small amounts per month, but only small so that nobody notices it, right? And when it's time to go, because if you go big, that's how you get caught, right? And if we do get caught, you know what I'm saying? The money is offshore, right? So nobody will know that the U.S. had anything to do this at all. We can't have our name on none of this, but we want you to know that we got you, right? Word. Sounds cool. So the next obvious question is like, all right, well, where is this money coming from? If the Bolin Act says that we can't fund this, right, that's cool. But there's no problem with us letting the homies know that our homies need some help.
Yeah, yeah. We could just like, well, we can't fund it, but we can promise favors to the king of Saudi Arabia or whatever. Oh, we'll throw some scratch our way. Yeah,
I wonder where the name Saudi Arabia came from. How did they get involved? Is this not the seventh country to be involved in this story?
Yeah.
Right? So you're right. So they say, hey, you know, we've been slanging weapons to the Saudis for a while. I think they might owe us some favors. You know what I'm saying? We've been selling, and not only have we been selling them blickies, I mean, we've been selling them that good. I mean, that Zaza. We've been giving them like the realness. So they look, they say, hey, listen, man, we've been
shit that takes planes out of the sky.
Yes, we've been shooting you shit to take planes out the sky because off your shoulder. This, look, we ain't been selling you that gas. Like, we've been giving you the Zaza. You know what I'm saying? So if that's the case, hey, man, like, look, we're going to need you to do us a favor real quick. We've been giving you this good stuff. Hey, I need you to slide a milli or two into this account. Just here and there, just a milli, right? You know what I'm saying? And this is your way of thanking us for giving you that good, right? Mm-hmm. That's all we're going to need from you. Saudi like, all right, word, we got you. We'll slide him a milli a month to the offshore. The problem is that's not enough, which is crazy that's not enough. Right.
Yeah, that is nuts.
That's nuts. So now enter another acronym, the NSPG, which is the National Security Planning Group, right? Which they connect in June in 1984 to talk about Contra because, listen, they finna run out of money and they about to lose this. And the only people that know the money's going through the Saudis is old Ronnie Reagan, Oliver North, Bill Casey, and Bud McFarlane. They the only people that know this. And that's really who's in this group, right? And they're like, okay, so we need to figure out, they need more money, right? How do we help the Contras, right? Which we not supposed to be helping anyway, but we slick, kind of low-key under the table, figured out how to do this, right? So then they say, if anyone finds out that we're getting money from other countries to pay for this, if we're like, well, that's not taxpayers' money. We just got money from somebody else. If they don't do it directly, then they're like, nah, that's still impeachable. Like, we can't just do that, right? But they're like, I still don't know how to do this. Cut to Oliver North, right? In the group text with Calero and the Saudis to making sure that the money's going through. The money's going through. Everybody's cool, right? But again, it's still not enough. But while everybody's sweating about this, the funny part is like dudes like Weinberger, who's like, listen, I don't understand what y'all problem is. This is perfectly legal.
Yeah.
Like we have not done anything wrong. Listen, we have no control over their money, right? And just because we connected the two, that's not like just because we connected them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't broken no laws here. Now, Vice President Bush Sr., he's in the room and he's like, listen, man, I don't understand what everybody worried about. What's wrong with us doing a solid for the homies, right? As long as we don't get anything in return, we all agree, it's okay. Let them keep doing what they're doing. And if we get approval from the AG, from the Attorney General, and now everybody knows this, then I don't understand what the problem is, right? Ronald Reagan, like, okay, I get it. As long as I know one thing. This one time I was like, okay, this is a good Ronald Reagan quote. He's like, this works as long as everyone keeps their fucking mouth shut.
Yeah.
I was like,
this will work out great if you don't say a goddamn thing.
I was like, okay, Ronnie, all right. You've shown some humanity that I agree with. He's like, okay, Ronnie does understand. You can try to convince me this is legal, but just in case, I need nobody singing. Now, as anyone who has known who's ever tried to put together a lick or a mission or a scheme, the more names involved, the more people involved, the more chances for problems.
Right.
Right. But still, we're still in a situation where Oliver North is down there, you know, again, since he's the middleman between the Saudis, you know, Calero and the Contras. Right. The Contras are still just a rebel group. They're not a 5-star purple hearted general. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Oliver North. So Oliver North down there kind of low key giving them game here and there. Right.
Yeah.
Just like, yo, man. OK, listen. So when we give you this how you set the stuff up. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like we'll figure it out, you know, and we'll try to get you some more money. So while this is happening in October of 1984, the Congress passed another Boland Amendment that was like, okay, listen, you can't pay for the Contras, but you also can't indirectly fund the Contras.
Yeah.
Man.
You're not allowed, like, you're not allowed to loophole funding a foreign military organization.
We're not
letting you do this.
Yes. We see what you're doing, bro.
I mean, they do wind up letting them do this.
And but they eventually do. To. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But they're just like, bro, you can't just like, okay, listen, dog. We thought maybe this was clear, but you can't directly or indirectly fund them. So everybody who hears that was funding indirectly the Contras goes, okay, so what you're telling me is we just have to come up with a better system to fund the Contras, right? That's what you're saying. Like, no, we're saying don't do it. They're like, so do it better. Got it, right? So they're just like, that means we got to turn up. So in 85, Oliver North gets the Saudis to double their monthly pledge. And between 1984 and 1986, it says that the Saudis gave them $32 million to the Contra. Ali knows it all. $32 million, right? It's like, and he's down there, Ali down there giving him all kinds of gains, weapons, war strategy, $11 million in guns. $11 million, $11 million worth of guns, and they still lose.
That's a significant number of guns. Like, that's not a tiny number of guns.
No. It is 85.
Yeah.
So, and they still lose it.
That shit goes far back then. You think you fucking just lose it? Awesome.
And they still lose it.
Yeah.
Listen.
One of the things that is, we should probably hone people in on here if they haven't picked up on it. The Contras are not a very good rebel group.
This should have been... Yes.
They do get better, like, in terms of their competence at fighting, like, near the end of the story. But they're, like, they're really bad at being an insurgent militia.
They're just really not doing well. And they taking on another insurgent that overthrew another government who clearly got some more experience on you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, fam, this shit ain't working. Like, and it's like, and we just dumping money into you. But, again, as America or Reagan and them is concerned, we have a vested interest in y'all winning this war. And it's almost like... Look, the purse can't have a bottom on it because I need y'all to win this, right? And now, cut to Oliver North, right? Ali, remember, this is all happening at the same time while we still trying to get them hostages out. It's the same time, right? So we still ain't got no hostages. You know what I'm saying? We dumping money here. Now, remember, we're not giving the Saudis these weapons. They're buying them.
Yeah.
Right. But so the agreement was agreeing to sell to us. Right. That was the part that I always missed when I was like trying to really understand this story growing up. I was like, well, I don't understand where the money coming from. I was like, well, no, they buying it.
Yeah,
I was like,
okay. They're paying. Yeah.
They're paying for these weapons.
Yeah.
Right.
People are. Yeah. The fucking arms industry is getting their cut of this. Don't
worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody making money. You know what I'm saying? So this is happening at the same time. We still ain't got our hostages. So in November 17, 1985, Israel calls Oliver North to be like, okay, back to the beginning. Our last Hawk missiles didn't clear customs. Remember we told you about that? It didn't clear customs in Lisbon. It got sent back, right? So that's when Oliver North calls Bud McFarlane and tells Ronnie he's down for whatever, right? Iran thinks Israel sabotaging this stuff. And they're like, if you blame America, they're going to kill the hostages, right? So we're in a situation that we got to figure out how to take care of both of these situations. There's not enough money here. We still ain't got our hostages over there. In comes January 1986, the diversion. Now, according to Oliver North, he said Gabonifar came up with it. Right. And we can't know because it was like a movie scene where you out in London. Y'all remember that meeting I said when they talked in London, right?
Yeah.
They're out in London. They're having a conversation. You got to picture a movie scene where the fool Gabonifar pulls this fool into the bathroom, turns the water on. Right. So nobody hear them talking. Right. And according to Oliver North, in his story, according to his story, he's like, listen, I got an idea how you could get an extra milli for you. I got an idea and you could make an extra milli on it, right? But it's going to take a few steps. So he's like, okay, here's the plan. You stop using Israel, okay? Sell directly to Iran and mark up the price and take the rest and put it in that offshore account that the Nicaraguans set up.
Sure.
And if you want to, won't you mark it up a little bit more and you could pocket a little bit? Like, it's over. You're putting your life in danger here anyway. Yeah. You probably gonna go to jail over this shit. So you might as well make a little money. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Boy Scout Oliver North is like, well, I could never do that, right? But he doesn't do it. So he doesn't take the money, right? But he definitely is like, huh. It basically, huh.
Huh.
So they need more money. We need our hostages. Iran thinks Israel's the problem. So if we remove Israel, sell to y'all directly, mark it up, take that extra money, put it in an offshore account. That way we get our hostages and we pay for this war that we not allowed to pay for with money that actually don't exist. Because remember, we not supposed to be selling to them anyway. So that in that case, if you work it right, the money never touches our account. It never right. comes into your bank account because the money not supposed to exist anyway. And again, like we said in the beginning, brilliant. Right.
Although quite a bit of that money is going to wind up in a physical safe that Oliver North keeps. Like, he winds up, he's grabbing, there's points of this where he's like paying off people in our government and stuff. And he's just like handing folks like just, bearer bonds he keeps in his fucking safe in the White
House. It's hilarious. It's the most messiest, like,
yeah.
It's very messy because these people aren't actually criminals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
All right. So Ali goes up, pulls up to the new national security advisor, this dude, John Paul Dexter, who I thought was a made up name.
No. Right? That dude's got a real ass name, and he goes really down hard.
Yeah. And he was like one of them like true believer type dudes, like first class and like, you know, Navy, PhD in like nuclear physics.
He's described as being, he's extremely smart.
Yes.
And he's described as being extremely intelligent and having effectively no independent thought whatsoever. Like he's this brilliant man who's never had an idea of his own, but he's unfailingly loyal.
Yeah, he's just down. True believer, down. So, January 17th, Reagan finally signs the finding, right? To drop the middleman, to be like, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to sign the finding. Remember, he did the retroactive one, but which was already fraudulent. Now he's about to sign one that's going to say, we're going to cut out the middleman. The problem is it never goes to Congress. So Congress never saw it, right? But the diversion is now off to the races, right? So missiles that we sold to Iran for what should have been $3.7 million was $10 million. That's what we raised the price to, from $3.7 to $10 million. And we take the extra $6 milli and we fund the Contras, right? That was the plan. Yeah. It was working, except we still ain't got the hostages. They still ain't gave them up.
Bill Casey is fucking dead. Buckley is fucking dead.
He dead. He's dead. They still dead ain't got hell. The hostages.
Yeah. They get like one guy or something at one point in this, like almost no movement at all. Like they're handing over literal tons of weaponry and they're trying to get six dudes.
Yes.
Now, look, I'll tell you right now, if I've got six guys and you give me 500 tons of anti-air and anti-armor weaponry, I'm going to give you those six guys because I'm an honest man.
Yeah.
But no, Hezbollah is just like, you know what? No.
See how long we can run it going. See how long we can run it. And at the end of the day, it's like, I don't blame them. If y'all keep sending them, then why would I stop? Like, so y'all keep sending them money. Yeah.
It seems like the U.S. is just a gun pinata.
Right.
So
now.
Why not? Like, there's no downside.
And what's crazy is in this whole story, the only real ones in this story so far is Hezbollah.
Yeah.
Because they was like, look, we'll do it if you give us weapons. And I'm like, wait, so you'll still give us weapons
if we don't
do our part?
Or
Iran, Iran. They're like, wait, you'll still give us weapons if we don't give you what you want? I mean, well, shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's cool, right? So anyway, Ronnie hits Bud McFarland back and he's like, listen, dog, I done fucked up. I need some help here, right? So in May 86, they land in Tehran, right, with a couple spare parts of a Hawk missile, a kosher cake for some reason, and a Bible. That's according to Ronald Reagan's story. And a Bible with a message from Ronald Reagan. Now, why in the world Ronald Reagan would think this was a good gesture is beyond me. But they were there to negotiate the terms of release, right? So basically it was like, okay, we moving out Gabanafar. This is us talking, like, let's talk face to face. All right, here's the situation. And as a sign of good faith, here's this Jewish thing that I'm giving y'all, right? Which I still don't understand why he thought that was a good idea, unless it's a dig towards Israel. It just doesn't make sense to me. And a Bible. I don't get it. The point is, according to them, that's what they say. Now, Oliver North and his story is it wasn't no Bible. And the cake was something that he bought in Tel Aviv, right? Which is why it was kosher. But either way, they was in this meeting. They brought Bud back from retirement. Because remember, Bud was like, dog, I'm out, man. I don't want none of this. Bud came back because Ronald asked him. And they was in this situation. And Ali was like, okay, here's the move. This is what we're going to say. We're going to negotiate the terms. Here's what it is. We hear directly. You know, you ain't got to worry about Gabanafar, who has cashed plenty of checks, right? And it's clearly in on the thing, right? So we're having a talk, and then Bud flies off the handle. Mm-hmm. Blood throws the whole thing up. He was like, the Iranians offered two hostages. It was like, okay, well, we'll slide y'all two hostages. Bud was like, hey, homie, it's everything or nothing. Nah, fam, we ain't come up here for two. We came up here for everybody. Right? And he was like, look. And he leaning over to Ollie and them, and he's like, listen, dog, you got to do this with these fools because they're not down. They're not going to give us anything. He was like, I knew they wasn't going to do this because, listen, when we flew in here, they didn't even meet us for this meeting. Like, they didn't send no cars. We had to straight, like, Uber to this shit. Like, we ain't got no hotel. We got to figure this shit out. They not really here for us. Matter of fact, they had us waiting for 2 days. He was like, fool, we had this meeting. We just been sitting here for 2 days waiting for these fools to come. You don't understand. You ain't got no hustle in you. He was like, they hustling us, fam. Nah, everybody or nothing. That was Bud's thing. Because you remember Bud's a gangster.
Yeah.
Right? So, so he's like, all right, well, either we could do this, try to figure this out, you know, all or nothing. And while they saying all or nothing, Iran done already unloaded the plane. So they already got the weapons. So they already got the parts. So they not even worried about anything. You talk about anything. Anyway, we got all these parts, right? Which meant that they paid for it. So they was like, we're going to get you. We'll pay for the money, but we still not going to give you your hostages. And we already got the pieces anyway. So the negotiation is done. So y'all, I mean, what y'all want to do? Why don't y'all go ahead back home, right? So he goes head back home. They all on the plane. So Oliver North calls back home and he tells, I forgot. This is an important part about this. Bud McFarland don't know about the diversion. Bud don't even know about the raising the price to send it to Iran, to send it to Nicaragua. He don't even know.
Yeah, well, because again, the CIA, like, they don't like the NSC, right? All these organizations are greedy. They all want to be like running shit through themselves. So like everybody's compartmentalizing information and stuff.
Yeah. So they on the plane. So they on the plane right now on their way back home, and they like, damn, dude. Like Ollie, like, damn, man, that's. Dang, it didn't work again, but at least we got the dough for the Contras. He just slips. Well, at least we got the dough for the Contras, right?
Yeah.
And Bud is like, yeah, wait, what? We got the what now? So he's like, oh, he just dry snitched on himself. So now he's like, well, I guess that's what we're doing. So he's like, well, tell the president that the negotiation failed. Right? I guess that's it. So, flashback to 86. We still trying to deal with Nicaragua, right? So, finally, August 6, 1986, Reagan finally convinces the Congress to pass to chill on the Bolden Act, right? So, there's a $100 million appropriation bill. Now, keep in mind, we've been paying these fools for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? But now you done finally got the Congress to agree to a $100 million appropriation bill. The Republican, just like back then, just like now, are like, yo, let's ride. The Democrats are like, okay, cool, wait, but we have so many questions. Like, you just going to cut a check for these people? Like, can we discuss this a little bit? Then they enter this man named Lee Hamilton, right? He's from the Intelligence Committee in the Congress. And he asked Oliver North and them, like, okay, listen, bro. We've been discussing this shit for a while. I need you to keep it a whole century with me. Keep it a buck with me, bro. 100. Keep it real. You been down there with the Contras already? Have you been giving them military advice this whole time?
Ollie,
son. Hey, right? And it's like, listen, we don't look, the law's already passed. Okay? It's already passed, bro.
A lot of this is happening in D.C. Like, he's meeting with their reps and handing them fucking bags of cash that he takes out of a safe in the fucking headquarters of the U.S. goddamn government. It's so funny.
Oh man.
It's such just like crime stuff. Like it's not like they just stuff. They did a thing and then found out afterwards, "Oh my god, we violated some sort of congressional." Like, no. Dude, you're shoving bearer bonds into a sack to hand them to a dude who you are now telling how to kill people. Like
it is the war's equivalent of Shaggy's classic song, "It Wasn't Me."
That's right.
And you got me in the shower. It wasn't me. Like, you just just picture it where he's.
What's that fucking service you can pay famous people who are kind of on the downslide to record videos for you?
What is that?
Cameo.
Is Ollie North on Cameo? We could get him to do that. That would be pretty
That'd
fucking
be
incredible.
That'd be so great. Yes. Man, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's totally a movie. It's like when you ask him, "Hey, have you been doing this already?" You just cut to the flashbacks of him doing all this shit.
Yeah.
And him being like, "Okay, I know this is the great place you want to be. I know what y'all know. If you're the one doing the crimes, it's better for me to know how much everybody else knows. And I know y'all don't know shit." Right? So you need to craft the answer to say, "I'ma only give you an answer that confirms what I know you already know and only as much as I know." So his answer, quote, "Well, I'm a military man, and when I sit down with other military men, it's inconceivable that we won't talk about military things. So even if I thought I could give them good advice, you and I both know we can't run this war from Washington."
Okay.
Unquote.
Okay.
Subtext.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're actually running this war from Washington.
Yeah. And they're literally like giving them stuff like, "Hey, we need you guys to do an offensive now. You've got to like try to take this area, these camps and stuff back, because we need to be able to like put some some dubs on the board." Like it's very direct coordination.
He's literally coordinating this war. And then they ask him something like, "Hey, look, just keep it real. Have y'all been raising money for the Contras?" He was like, "Nah." "Nah, what? Wait, like raising money? Nah." Hey, bud. Hey, we ain't been raising money. Weinberger, do you know of any? Nah, we ain't been raising no money. That's cool. Right? And the Congress is like, "Well, I guess that covers it." So he said no. So, I mean, he said he didn't. So, yeah, I guess you want to cut the check? Everybody good? They cut the check, right? We did our work. We did our job. We were supposed to ask. He said no. I don't know what to tell you, right? The rest is just paperwork. Seems easy.
Mm.
Right? Now, we are now back at October of 1986. Right before the money was supposed to get cleared. Right before this 100 milli was supposed to get clear, Gene from Wisconsin, head ass, gets shot out of the sky.
Oh, Gene.
God damn it, Gene.
You fucked it all up, Gene. What are you doing? Your name is Gene and you're from Wisconsin. What are you doing in Nicaragua,
what
Gene?
What are you doing?
Come on.
Hoss and Foss. What is this shit?
Get out of here.
Oh man. So Bill Casey, like, "Look, burn the books, dog. Get out now. We gotta get out now, cuz like we burnt. The spots blow."
Yeah, start throwing some shit in the furnace.
Yes. Oliver, like, "Look, everybody,
shredding it is not going to be
enough,
Ollie."
Homie. Oliver North, like, "Everybody, you ain't gotta go home. You gotta get the hell out of here, dog." Right.
Time to go. Fucking bounce.
Time to go, everybody. Time to go. Now this
damn
is
damn near burnt the White House down behind them. Yeah.
Yes. This is the famous shit that I remember being a very small child and seeing on television. Right. And dope that what's the name? President Biden just talked about officers getting reparations over this shit, right? Is yeah. he says, since everybody got to go home, we need no evidence. And by I mean no evidence, I mean we are bulldozing these buildings,
yeah,
digging a big hole, throwing everything in the building, everything in the hole. Nigga, the chairs, the printer, the desks, the water cooler, everything. Go in this hole, burn the shit on fire in the jungles of Nicaragua. Just burn the shit. Burn it all. Yeah. Like, burn everything, right? So while everything getting burned, Gene from Wisconsin, head ass, is doing an interview with Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes.
Awesome. Good call, Gene.
Get Smart your money, man. Gene.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for Gene from Wisconsin, because Gene was like, you gonna pay me to do what? To fly where? Word. I don't owe y'all nothing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you, no. Fool, I just.
Look, you guys just said you don't know me.
You
so.
Just said, exactly.
I don't know what kind of cards you think you have me? Left over me here, but.
Because when worst came to worst, when we was yeah. down, when yeah. shit hit the fan. You understand what I'm saying? You was not down. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to go get my money then. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Look, Gene and the Iranians are the realest people mm-hmm. in this story.
Yeah.
Gene was like, all right, so, well, okay. no, that's bullshit. This is what they had me do. My man was on 60 Minutes telling his whole story. So then, oh man. So now, but although in October of 1986, because the Bolden Act thing was repealed, they really, now we don't need no diversion. So we can stop it. We can stop like trying to hide out all this stuff, right? But as long as, like Reagan said, everybody keeps their mouth shut. However, yeah. as we all know, no one ever keeps their mouth shut.
No.
Then in the history of keeping your mouth shut, no yeah. one ever keeps their mouth shut. We did an episode on Hood Politics about like how many years you got to throw at somebody before they start snitching, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how hard of a gangster they are. Like year, 5 years, that's a vacation. You have somebody hold your money, you know what I'm saying? Like hold it was cool. Like as long as you good, you got enough people in the scene, you could do a year. You could do 2 years. Mm-hmm. You start talking about 10 years. You start talking about 25 years. People start sounding like Mariah Carey out this mug. Like you become Rihanna. Like fools start singing when you throw enough time on them, right? And also, if you a journalist, oh, this some Pulitzer Prize shit. Like you gonna change your life forever. You break this story.
Yeah.
So, in November of 1986, a newspaper in Lebanon called Al Shura drops their expose, and fam, they name names. Everybody involved, they name names. They're fool, they lit this thing up. Now, all of America is like, what the hell? White House, y'all got something to say? And the White House is like, what? What? This is so weird. I don't, what are you? Talking to, I don't know what she's talking about. That's crazy, right? It's crazy, right? She was saying, you see all that they said? It's crazy, right? I don't know. Right? So, you can kind of play it off, but again, everyone snitches. Yeah. And not only does everyone snitch, when you have somebody, like a character like a Ronald Reagan, right? Which you're watching play out in a lot of ways, just in a very uncouth way with Donald Trump, in the sense that if a person feels like they too smooth to get caught, they'll start dry snitching on themselves. Then they don't listen to, that's one thing about I've learned about a narcissist. A narcissist will always reveal their play. Always. Because they need you to stroke their ego. Right? They need you to be impressed about their prowess. So, and they're gonna go off script because they believe they invincible. Always. In the same way that Trump snitched on himself about the box of classified documents that was laid out on the floor when he was like, Man, they spread it out there. They spread all that shit out on the floor like I was a slob. Mm-hmm. I kept all my documents in a nice folder. Oh, where the documents that you ain't supposed to have? The ones that you said that you already gave back? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, fam, you just dry snitched. Like, oh, so you do got the documents, right? Right? So we're going to watch President Reagan continue to try to dance, right?
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Now, the first person to actually snitch is the weirdo Don Regan, right? Mm-hmm. Because, again, if you're in a situation like this, like, you have to, like, anybody in this situation, who do you think everybody's going to try to protect?
I mean, the boss, right?
You're going to protect, like, the president.
Yeah, that's the way that works. Especially, like, Ronald is... He's gotten reelected by the point that this breaks.
Yeah.
But he's also kind of losing his shit, right? Like,
yeah.
he's seriously, like, Nancy is kind of running things for a large chunk of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nancy's running up. He's starting to lose his marbles, but he's still the don. He's still the boss. And if you know that, you start, what you should do is start calculating where on the totem pole you are. Because the lower you are, the more likely you're going to get thrown to the wolves, right? So if you got any sense, you like, I need to set this shit up for myself because y'all not going to look out for me. Yo, remember Gene Hossenfoss from Wisconsin? Yeah. Y'all not finna look out for me. You know what I'm saying? So you should know what this situation, right? But now this snitch, Don Regan, who nobody knows is a snitch at the time, they call Washington Post. He say the president didn't have nothing to do with it. He was trying to like, which is quite a calculation for him. He's like, all right, let me not. Yeah. I'm a snitch, but not on the big boss because I don't want that to come back and bite me in the ass later. So he snitches, and the person he throws under the bus is Bud McFarlane.
Yeah.
And he says that man never told the president what he was doing. Of course, that's a lie. President, of course.
The president definitely knew. There are a bunch of shady things where, like, McFarlane will say, well, no, I got his specific approval before I did this thing. And it'll be like, well, when did you do that? Well, I called him. And he's like, well, there's not a record of this phone call. And there's other records of Reagan knowing about it. Like, that doesn't mean on the day to day.
Totally.
Just to make the point, McFarlane absolutely lies about what Reagan knew, but Reagan also knew. Although it is possible that the Alzheimer's caused him to lose significant pieces of it, you know?
Absolutely. And it's like, when you run in a lick like this, and especially like Bud McFarlane and Ronald Reagan, like they're actually like buddies. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's very possible that like he is just like calling on the fly, like, oh,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, they're just hanging out or something.
Yeah, he's like,
McFarlane,
oh, by the way.
It was a call, but it was during a thing,
Yeah, I got to send $6 million to Iran. You cool? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
When you dial in around like what specifically did the president know? Well, that's a harder question to answer, but did the president know and approve of the plan? Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So the hope was that like, listen, tell this cover story. Ed Meese was the attorney general at the time. And he's like, listen, Bud retired, right? So Bud's retired. He not going to lose his job. If we put everything on Bud, Bud knows everything. We're cool, right? Like then that way we can get out of it. That's the story, Ronnie. That's the story. Is like Bud did the thing. Here's the situation. Poindexter hollers at Bud and he says, yo, if you tell Don to back off, like Don out here trying to like drag me. I remember I said later on that Don tells this story to the press that Bud is cheating on his wife, just a dickhole, right? So Bud is like, okay, I'll take some of this heat, but fuck Don Regan. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not finna do this to me like this. He's like, okay, cool. Just protect the president. Now, Reagan getting slaughtered in the press.
Yeah, this is the least popular he ever is.
He get murdered.
He kind of has a breakdown around this point.
He really does.
Like, Nancy is running the show. He's basically hiding and watching like old movies on television. No one can reach him. There is a period of time where they consider, they actually like bring in an outside guy to secretly analyze Reagan, whether or not they need to do a 25th Amendment and like pull his ass out of there.
Because he was losing it, which is how he dipped out of impeachment.
Yeah.
Was like, well, I don't recall. So he getting slaughtered. And guess what? Them hostages are still in Iran. Mm-hmm. which is still funny to me. It's not funny because that's their life. But it's like, all this shit, you still ain't got the hostages. But he says he has to make some sort of statement. Now, if you are Reagan, again, your pride is involved here. Right. If the story is they doing all this shit up under my nose and I don't know it, then I look like a punk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, I don't know how cool I am with this. Poindexter says, listen, he tells the press, listen, I know everybody was saying this was about arms for hostages. And it was not, fam. This was always about being good with Iran because everybody know they crazy over there. So we needed to make sure that we was good over there. We was tapped in. Everything was cool. And it all happened in 86. Anything before that, yo, that was Israel. Mm-hmm. Like, and remember, that was the cover the whole time, running through Israel so that you could tell your people if it do come out, like, oh, I don't know, fam, that was Israel. Like, whatever they did with them. I don't know. You could check the ledgers. We were selling them stuff because that's what we do. We've been selling them stuff for years. Like, I don't understand the problem, right? But everybody knows, look, man, somebody's got a role. Don Regan's like, listen, man, a head got a role. This story ain't gonna hold up. People gonna figure this out. And as long as that head ain't Reagan, we gonna be cool. Yeah. Right? So Reagan goes with the story, right? But he got to go talk to Congress, right? Now, this is where it gets super funny, right? So now we in November 12th. This is 1986. And Reagan got to talk to Congress, right? We talking Bob Dole. We talking Dick Cheney, right? All these like big like Reagan stands that ended up ruining most of our childhood as they became part of the leadership of our government, right? So the Congress is like, okay, fam, when did this start? Well, I think it started in November 85, but we ain't do no transfers to the heaters until 1986. Yeah, I mean, that's a total lie, right? And then Reagan says, yo, yeah, this was like a clandestine thing because we don't negotiate with people. That shit is a lie. He out here trying to be a cowboy. Like, y'all really think I'm that much of a punk that I'm going to be out here negotiating with these terrorists? That's a lie, fam. I don't be negotiating with no terrorists. That's not what I did. I had this clandestine shit. And Poindexter and them is like, nigga, if you don't shut the fuck up, you not supposed to know what happened. That was the story. The storyline is you don't know what happened. He's like, nah, man, I let them make sure that we don't negotiate with terrorists. Like, okay, fam. Oh, Lord, here we go. So after all this, Schultz meets with everybody and he's like, George Schultz is like, fam, I tried to tell y'all this shit wasn't going to work. I tried to tell y'all this was going to happen, right? And Don is like, look, if everybody stick to the script, it's going to be cool, right? But Schultz is like, listen, this math ain't mathing. Everybody gonna figure this out. This is Watergate all over again, right? It's not gonna work. I'm trying to tell y'all, Reagan losing his marbles, right? Don't let this man talk. But I'm telling you, Schultz is like, fam, who we gonna throw under the bus? Because they gonna figure this shit out. Like, people are not stupid. This story don't make sense. The story we telling them don't make sense. And the numbers are obvious. Right? This is Watergate all over again. So then now it's like Reagan again with his like, I'm a superhero, is like, okay, listen, let me go ahead and talk to the nation. Now in this situation, anybody who got any sort of like street, you know, any sort of like street wisdom would know that you are now in a position where you are going to look people in the face and lie to them.
Yeah.
So this was wrong. This is not the move, fam, because now you officially lied to our face. Right. Before, it was confusing. Before, it was just, you know, ambiguous. Now you finna lie to us. Right.
Yeah.
So he was like, listen, what they saying about me ain't true. I made no concessions and we ain't give them no guns. America like, fam, you just gonna lie to us like that? Like, this is so obvious what you did. And he like, I'm trying to tell y'all, this ain't what we did, right? That same day, Poindexter getting grilled, right? And he like, listen, dog, we ain't getting more weapons. Okay, maybe a few weapons. Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, maybe a couple of weapons.
Maybe a couple, right? And then Reagan on November 19, doubling down. And reporter says, yo, then this is the part that like went viral, if their version of viral, right? One of the reporters was like, yo, you say you ain't trade no weapons for hostages, but every time one of them hostages kind of came home, the records show a major shipment of guns. What's that about? That's kind of weird. It's like when a hostage lands, weapons leave. That kind of seemed like, I mean, I'm just reading the ledger. It kind of seemed like you was given weapons for hostages, right?
And yeah, it feels a little like that, huh?
It does kind of look like that. And Reagan and them like, look, dude, ship weapons all the time. If it happens at the same day, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, fam. It just kind of happened at the same time, right? And it's just your lie getting worse and worse and getting paper thin. Somebody gonna figure this shit out. somebody gonna have to take the fall because the script ain't working and the script's only kind of true, right? And Reagan keep talking too much. The more you talk, because he keep feeling like, you know when you lying and people figuring out your lie, your instinct is to double down. But once you start doubling down, like I say, you start dry snitching. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And your story's not adding up. This shit don't make sense. This is what's playing off all over the news. If Twitter was around on this time, this would be just a great time in Twitter. This shit not making sense, right? November 20th, Schultz is telling him, like, listen, bro, just come clean, right? Just they gonna figure it out. And if they figure it out, it's worse, right? And Reagan does textbook white boy stuff. And he says, listen, I didn't mean, this is great, again, textbook white. Well, I didn't mean to sell weapons for hostages. So if I didn't mean to do it, I didn't do it.
Yeah. My heart tells me I didn't do it, but the evidence says otherwise. Literally a thing he says.
Yes. So they're
my best intentions say we didn't do this, but all the evidence says we did. So who's to say what happened?
Well,
that's my Reagan. Yes. Yeah.
Well, so the next day they like, look, dog. This is what we're going to do. We're going to launch an internal investigation, right? Ed Meese is like, look, let's launch an internal investigation. Let's figure out what's going on. Let's holler at the National Secretary Advisor, right? Poindexter, and figure out these findings, right? So Poindexter knows exactly what he finna find out because he going to find out that the papers that was supposed to be turned in and findings was never turned in, and one of them was backlogged. So basically, when he finds them papers, which we all know exist, is going to prove that the president knew everything. Right? Now, guess who else knows all this? Oliver Malkin North.
Yep. He sure does.
He know all this and got
again,
all the paperwork.
The man everything comes into, right?
Like he's he gets got it a, all. Yeah. And if this fool got it all, there's papers for everything. So he's like, well, what is the most logical thing to do right now? Probably the same thing you did in Nicaragua. You just got to get rid of the evidence, right?
Yeah.
First, make a copy so I can have my own. And you need to get rid of everything. These are serious felonies, y'all. Like, let's not. You can't shred government documents to cover up war crimes. Like this, this is terrible, right?
Yeah.
So he calls his assistant like a dumbass. So he calls his assistant to go do it, right? Which again, crime number 101, you can't just send somebody, even I don't care how close this person is, you can't send somebody else to come do this. You need to make sure this shit is done correctly, right? Because if anything is missed, everybody going to jail. So they go about and they shred 15 months of correspondence. Right? 15 months and one and missed, Robert, they missed one document.
Ah, well, that's pretty good.
And that one document proved the whole thing. Of all the documents that they shredded, the one they didn't shred, follow me. The one document they didn't shred was a memo entitled The Diversion Memo.
The crime note. How to crime. How we're going to break the law repeatedly. Yes. Amazing, guys.
Going to do that we're trying to cover up. Memo.
You get so lazy when the whole apparatus of government is on your side. Like, that's really what this is. It's the same thing you see from all these, like, right-wing groups being like,
yes,
here's our meeting chat where we're going to overthrow the government. Meanwhile, kids who are like, I don't know, burning a police car with nobody inside it spend like years planning and like the rest of their lives frightened that the law is behind them and burn all of their clothing, never see each other again. Meanwhile, the guys trying to overthrow the entire government are like, let's just do a signal loop for that and I'll loop in my guy with the Trump White House and we'll just all get in the same group and figure out how we're going to kill all those people.
It's all good, bro. Like, it's
fucking worry about hell, guys.
Literally a memo called the diversion memo. Yeah. You nerds. Like, you named it the crime. What the hell is wrong with y'all? You know what I'm saying? So that's the one that got out because that's the one they missed. Now, by this point, Ed Meese knows everything. You know, Reagan is still, you know, stiff-lipped. I don't know what's going on. I ain't do nothing wrong. Literally, the document shows that you absolutely did, right? The NSC's got all kind of private memos, right? They got to blame somebody. Poindexter finna resign. Oliver North is the only person they can blame because it all came out of his office. Now, the next thing that happens is the independent investigation from Lauren Walsh. What plays out in public is the part that a lot of us are familiar with. It's when a special investigator, this is their version of Robert Mueller, right, comes on the scene and comes in, just picture the slow motion. And this dude's retired, like just a nerd, retired at home. I'm tired of doing this lawyer thing. They send him this situation and he's like, oh, shit. Damn. God damn. Okay, yeah, I'll investigate it. He do the investigation. Fools come on TV. And what was televised, which is so crazy. It's like it's almost like the beginnings of how we see politics now. What was televised was the Oliver North trials. And that man ended up being on the cover of Time magazine as one of the greatest patriots because Oliver North figured out how to play the game. He was like, okay, listen, I'm gonna go to jail for this shit. I'm gonna go to jail as a patriot.
Yeah.
And he became this like right-wing superstar.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched his fucking TV show all the time when I was a kid.
He got a TV show, bro. War
Stories with Oliver North. I think he's still on the air.
Oliver North, bro, for running this thing. But basically, he became the fall guy. Now, years later, right, you go after President Reagan was President George Bush Sr., and there had to be an agreement that, like, hey, you're not going to impeach me later, right? And he's like, fam, why in the hell would I impeach you later? Of course I'm not going to, because if I impeach you, nigga, I'm going to jail. Because I was in the room the whole time, fam. So why would I not do that? But a trial did happen where Ronald Reagan, believe it or not, this is the part that like surprised me. Ronald Reagan was put on trial for this. It's just he was so far into his Alzheimer's at the time that he was able to be like, well, I don't recall. Well, I don't recall. He became the quote that all of us love, which is not to my recollection. Did you, not to my recollection? Was you there? I don't remember. Not to my recollection. So President Reagan actually got it. Oh, wait, no one except for Oliver North saw any real time.
Yay. And yeah, Oliver North's war stories ran for 15 years. 2016. Yeah.
And that, my
Ollie
friend.
North, yes. And all them Fox News dollars.
And that, my friend, is the Iran-Contra scandal.
What a great story.
It really is.
A great story. I'm proud to be an American right now.
You guys will find out in the book endings of these series that there was other ways that Nicaragua thanked us.
Mm-hmm. They did. They showed their gratitude in a way that was deeply felt in the United States.
Yes.
And we will be getting into that or have been getting into that or are you'll hear that too. It's all coming out. It's all going to be in your ears this whole week.
Yeah.
This beautiful week.
In this stage of recording, we actually don't know which order these episodes are coming out.
We're working it out.
Yes.
But
anyway, so that's it. Mm-hmm. Iran-Contra. So who's the bastard? NSC, CIA, Ronald Reagan, Oliver North, pick one.
Ollie North is my favorite guy in it just because he's such a fucking criminal and such a bad criminal. And it's really funny how bad he is at doing crime.
Really? It really is.
Yeah. I got to give my vote to Ollie.
And then I'm like, again, real ones. My real ones in this story, Gabanafar is still my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Now, Gabanafar is the actual, like, coolest dude.
He's the coolest dude in here. He's an absolute war criminal, but he is the coolest dude in this story. Right?
Yeah, of the war criminals, he's just such a little scamp. Where it's like, you're going to just rob him again, aren't you, buddy? Yeah, you did. You fucked him over again.
Fucked him over again, bro.
They're never going to catch on.
He saw it like, he just disappears from the record. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea what happened to him. Last thing they talk about him in all the records was he cashed $1 million check. Ain't seen him since. At least from our records. He probably in some other records. I couldn't find no Where Are They Nows with Gabonifar.
Yeah, why would you? No, you go right off into the sunset with all of the money that you made.
Yeah. And Gene from Wisconsin's head ass. I don't know where he is either, but I still love the fact that that man did a 60-minute episode.
We could probably find out what happened, Gene. I wish you the very best of luck, Gene. Just stay the fuck away from Nicaragua.
Just don't be flying no weapons in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
We good? Yeah. We're good.
You can fly me some weapons, Gene.
Dude, I would love to go visit Gene. Just be like, yo, just tell me some stories, bro. Like, tell me what... Was like, how many missions did you run? Like, they don't say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you ever get a chance to actually kick it in Nicaragua?
No,
like,
they're not gonna say that. Nah. They ain't telling nobody that.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it. Robert Evans, Behind the Bastards Pod. I write Hell okay.
Yeah. After the Revolution, you can find it on AK Press.
You can find it on AK Press. That's right, Sophie. You know what else you can find? Is my book everywhere else. It's available everywhere else. So just Google After the Revolution, Robert Evans, and buy the book from wherever. Amazon, local bookstore, independent bookstore, AK Press. I don't care.
Yeah.
And Margaret Kildroy also has a book depending on when this is, it's either before or after it drops, which is on September 20th. And it's also from AK Press. And if you pre-order it, you can get a nice little book sleeve cover artwork situation. And it's called We Won't Be Here Tomorrow. That's my plug is for Robert and Margaret's books.
That is a great plug. Thank you, Sophie.
You're welcome.
Prop has a book too called Terraform. It's a poetry and short story.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a cold brew called Terraform Cold Brew if you're into coffee stuff. It's delicious. I put it on the screen as if y'all could see it, but the point is, it's very delicious. You can order that, terraformcoldbrew.com. And,
Buy Props. Props book is amazing. I love Props book. And it's also just very beautiful, beautiful cover and just like, I love it. I have a signed copy, Bragg.
Yes, you do.
Who else has a book? Let's think.
Those are the only books ever written.
I'm thinking of what's displayed on my bookshelf. Oh, Jake Hanrahan, friend of the pod, has a book too. You could get Jake Hanrahan's book. It's called Gargoyle.
Hanrahan.
That's it, right?
Yep, buy him. All right.
Love it. Ooh. All right, guys. Hood the Bastards.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.